good singing today. All right, I'll be in Matthew, the book of Matthew, and I'll be in chapter 11. Appreciate several of you making it today. I know you squeezed in with work, and I saw you, and I didn't get to shake all your hands, and good job. Appreciate you making it in here. Very good. Matthew 11. I'm going to start in verse 7. And you can listen along as I read. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 7 says this, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, 'What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. But from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. For he that hath ears, let him hear." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray today that I would do it accurately. I pray that your spirit would rest upon me. I pray we would see why you had such high regard for John, and may we get some of those things in our lives, Father. We pray your spirit to rest upon us. Give us power, give us love, give us zeal for you, and bless in a mighty way as we speak your word, Father. Just empower us, Lord. If somebody doesn't know you as Savior, may they come to know you today. May those who know you as Savior today be encouraged and drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, what praise for a man when Jesus starts talking that way about John. He speaks unbelievably high of him. I mean, he says, you went to see him for a reason, because he's not just a prophet. He's much more than a prophet. And then maybe the greatest praise any human's ever had. It says, verse 11, it says, "For I say unto you, unto them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Wow. He says he's not equal to people who are in heaven or anything like that, but people on earth, there's not been a greater man than John the Baptist. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you like the Lord to brag and say some good things about you? Wouldn't you like the Lord to say, "Man, you talk about a great person, it's her, it's him. Among humans, I've just not seen anybody greater than..." I would like for the Lord to say that about me. I'd like for the Lord to be proud of me. I'd like the Lord to not only be proud of me, but be blessed that I was good enough for him to say, "Hey, you can become a little cynical of humanity sometimes. With the ministry I do, with the many times the down and out people and rough areas and rough people and things like that, sometimes you think, man, everybody's about themselves. There's so many people." And then you get around someone who's good again. And you say, "You know what? They're better than me. Man, those people are such a blessing. It's so good to be around so-and-so. They're thinking about others. They're trying to be an encouragement." And how refreshing it is when you get around the person you don't have to put your guard up against, or wondering if really they're trying to really, what they're saying is this, but what they're really trying to do is this. You know what I mean? When you get around certain enough people, enough time, your defenses are up. Then you get around someone who you know you can trust, someone who you know their spirit, you know their attitude, and you can relax and say, "Man, this person, they're good. I love that person." Don't you want the Lord to feel like that around you? Just where he just says, "You know, I got some people out there who are putting on some acts, some people out there who are pretty wicked, but I got them, and they're that way. They are a blessing to me. I want to be that to the Lord." The Lord said, "John the Baptist, he is somebody. There's not been a greater person born than John the Baptist is. And that's great praise. I just want to give you some things about John the Baptist and what was it about him that made Jesus praise him so much. There's a lot of things that we think that impresses about people, a lot of things that we would look for, that we would say. Now, John the Baptist was a relative of his. John the Baptist was a cousin, basically, and John the Baptist, they were contemporaries, yet John the Baptist was somebody who was preparing the way for Christ. And the things that we might think that impress God maybe aren't the things that impress God. Maybe there are some different things. Number one, what about John the Baptist impressed him? Number one, he did not have what man thinks we need for success. He did not have what man usually thinks we need for success. It's funny. Jesus talked about, why'd you go into the middle of the wilderness? Because to hear John preach, you had to go out in the wilderness. You had to go out there because he was preaching on the Jordan. The cities weren't on Jordan. And you had to go through and follow the trails and get out there and get to the river and find John the Baptist there. And he said, why'd you go out to see this guy? Jesus said in verse 7. He says, what went you out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that are wear soft clothing are in the king's house. He says, hey, John the Baptist wasn't dressed real good. You didn't go out to see his fancy clothing. The ones with fancy clothing, they're in the palaces. John the Baptist, he was an odd guy. John the Baptist wore camel skin. And just so you know, camel skin is not like mink. Okay? You don't go to the fur store and go buy a camel coat. People wearing camel skins around their neck because camel is not a nice soft fur, and that's what he wore. He was not the best dressed. I remember when I came here, I was so ignorant, and when I first started the church, I was with somebody, and they wanted to go to a suit store, and I went to a nice suit store. And the guy picked out a suit for me, and I'm going looking at the price tag going, this ain't happening, man. I don't know why you're even... But for some reason, they thought I was impulsive. And if you know me, I'm the least impulsive guy in the world. But he thought, when I tried this suit on, I'd wear it for sure. And then he started naming the preachers. He says, man, so-and-so preacher wears this suit, and so-and-so preacher wears this suit, all these rich preachers. And I said, well, there's a reason they wear it, and not me. And I can get a camel. You have a camel skin suit? I remember them saying all these preachers that wear these things. And you got to dress for success. You got to do all those things. You know what? You don't have to dress for success to impress God. Matter of fact, you can shop at the thrift store and impress God. Amen. You can be poor and impress God. He didn't dress in nice clothes. He was rough. John the Baptist he didn't have nice clothing. He didn't have a sophisticated diet. Matter of fact, he wouldn't know what to order at the nice restaurant. He wasn't a lobster guy. He wasn't a steak guy. You take him to a nice restaurant, and he would look it around, and he'd say, where's the locust on here? Because he ate wild locusts and honey. He wasn't thought of sophisticated by the rich people. He didn't have all that stuff. John the Baptist didn't have wealth. He didn't have impressive things. He didn't dress right. He ate weird things that people would laugh at. He was not what would impress everybody. He did not have the things that man thinks you have to impress people. I think it's a sad thing when even you go to church sometimes and everybody thinks you have to dress a certain way and to impress each other to come to church. And all the things that maybe people think that it's all about, that's not what John the Baptist was about. John the Baptist didn't do any miracles. If you look at John chapter 10, it says John the Baptist wasn't throwing out this miracle and healing this person and doing this amazing thing. It says in John chapter 10 and verse 40, it said he went away beyond Jordan into the place where John first baptized and there abode. Let me see. Let me get the wrong verse here. And verse 41, and they resorted hither with him and said, John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man were true. John did new miracles. Not weird? You would think that John the Baptist, when the apostles were there and Jesus were there, and they're doing all these miracles, but John didn't do any miracles. His ministry was preaching and baptizing. Preaching, and baptizing. He didn't do all the things. There was nothing flashy. Now, people came to watch Jesus because they saw demon-possessed people healed. They saw the deaf hear and the lame walk, and they saw people who were blind healed. But John the Baptist didn't have anything flashy like that. He didn't have that. John did not have all the things that people think that we need for success. What was it? Why was he so impressive? He didn't have all those things that we think. Was it because he was John the Baptist? That could have been it. Maybe it's because he's a Baptist. It wasn't John the Methodist. It wasn't John the Presbyterian. No, that wasn't what it was. And there wasn't such thing as a Baptist back then. He was the baptizer. Well, what was it? Remember, what we find out, he was fulfilling God's plan for his life. Let's go back to, I'm going to go back to Matthew in chapter 9. Pretty simple. Matthew 11. He was fulfilling God's plan for his life. Verse 9, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. See, John the Baptist was told about before he's ever born, just like Jesus was. Jesus had 109 specific prophecies about who he would be before he's ever born. They're written about him. But also, John the Baptist had several prophecies. And it was told before Messiah comes, there will be a forerunner coming before him that's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And he's going to prepare the hearts to receive the Messiah. And this person is going to come and he's going to do these things. And Jesus says, hey, he's much more than a prophet. He is the one that was prophesied to prepare the way for the Messiah. He was a fulfillment of prophecies written about him. I think what's great about John is you never see a delay. You never see him going back. You see his zeal from the start. He is told, you're to go and proclaim that Messiah is coming and tell everybody to get ready for Messiah's coming. And boom, he starts preaching. He doesn't care who he preached to. He preached to everybody and he began to prepare the way. And I love when somebody just obedient to God. Just says, what does God have for me to do? We try to overthink things. Can I tell you a bad characteristic that I think that isn't talked about enough? In our society, we don't have instant obedience. I've noticed this in children. I've noticed this in employees. Everybody, excuse me, everybody thinks you have to have a formal debate before they obey. You know when your boss tells you, hey, go pick that up, you don't have to say why. Is that my job description? How should I? Wait a minute, I'm doing, just do what you're told. You're being paid. I know if they tell you to go kill people, I know, we understand that. When they tell you to go sweep the floor, just go do it. You don't have to have an explanation for every single thing. Children, if your parents say to do something, here's what you do. Okay. And you go do it. It's not that complicated. It's really not. You don't even have to understand to obey. It's better if you understand, but you don't have to. I remember I was working a union construction job, and I remember had a very strong union. They couldn't send us home, and I didn't understand all that stuff. I was 18 years old and working, I think I was 17. I was working this job. And I remember I got to about halfway through the day, and I got done. I was just kind of a grunt cleaning things up, and I went to the supervisor, and I said, what do I do now? And he said to me, he says, look busy, and he walked off. I said, look busy? I don't understand. So I walked over to the journeyman and I said, the boss told me to go look busy. What does he mean? And he says, you see those 2x4s over there on the other side of the building? I said, yeah. He says, go carry those over here, one at a time. Okay, so I walked over to the other side of the big building, huge building. I threw the 2x4 on my shoulder, walked all the way back, put it on the ground, looked at the journeyman. He says, good job, get the next one. One at a time, walked back all the way over there. And I said, why did they do that? He says, now you got to move them back. I said, why? He says, they can't send you home, and the supervisor doesn't want to look bad, so you just need to look busy. So go look busy. I said, okay. And so I started carrying those boards back. Got done with that. I said, what else can I do to look busy? He said, sweep the entire floor and just push everything to that side of the building. When you get done, push it all to this side of the building. I said, okay. You know, I just need to learn to obey. It didn't make sense. It still doesn't make sense to me. But you know what? I was getting paid. I learned to do more entertaining things. Look busy, by the way, after a while. And I started to have more fun with it. But you know, just do what you're told. John the Baptist just was told, go prepare the way for Messiah. Tell people Messiah's coming. And go, when people repent, baptize them. And that's what he did. He just wasn't flashy. He wasn't looking for all the acclamation. He wasn't looking for anything else. He just did God's will for his life. Whatever God has for you to do is a big deal. Wherever God puts you in life, and wherever you are doing something for God, whatever job God has for you to do, just do your job for God, and just be faithful to what God gives you. John just did what he was supposed to do. That was his plan. That was the will of God for his life. Number three, he lowered himself and lifted up Jesus. Oh, this is a tough one. John chapter 3. He lowered himself and lifted up Jesus. John chapter 3 and verse 27. Jesus says this, and John answered and said, a man can receive nothing, John the Baptist speaking, except to be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because the bridegroom's voice, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and seeketh and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. What does John say there? John says, hey, you know what? It's not a big deal that I'm not exalted and he is being exalted and he is growing. This is not about me. I'm just preparing the way for him. He that is from heaven is above all. And John says a fascinating thing. No man can have anything except just given to him from God. My ministry is given from God. My life is given from God. My health is given from God. I have nothing without God. I am given this job to prepare for somebody else. And now my ministry is up here, but I've just been preparing for him. Everybody's been hearing me so they can prepare for him. And now I'm going to be going down and he's going to be going up. I must decrease, but Jesus must increase. Boy, in a self-promoting world, and it's about number one and looking out for number one. And this world, it all exalts us, ourselves, and is all about me and all about mine and all about mine being the best. We have gotten so petty, it's amazing. People can't even be happy anymore when somebody else gets something nice. It's an amazing thing. Your neighbor gets a new car and you say, oh, why did you get a new car? I should have got a new car. Your friend gets in a relationship and you say, well, I'm better looking than them. Why? We get so self-centered, we can't even be happy when somebody else is happy. And the crazy thing, our society just, it is not about other people. It's not about being a blessing. You know that, did you know that people would come and immigrants would come to America and they would go and settle land and they would wear themselves out, not so they would have a great land, not so they would do so well, but so their kids would have a good opportunity. They wanted their kids to do better than them. And now, what do the parents want? It's all about them and their comfort and their entertainment. They don't even spend time with the kids so they can sit there and entertain themselves and play their video games and watch their TV all day while the kids sit by themselves because we are so self-centered. He must increase. God must be exalted. God must be lifted up. He's the Messiah. He must increase. I must decrease. I am just a tool. Boy, I'm amazed at this among the ranks of preachers, how much is self-exalting now. Everybody wants to have the biggest church, the nicest building, the fanciest this. And even in the ministry, it's gotten that, it's permeated our society so deep. When Jesus, they ask him, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He says, those who minister to the most, those are the biggest servants. It's not about you. It's not about how highly everybody thinks about you. It's not about, I want everybody to be impressed with me. I want to be, listen, how about just serving people? How about exalting God? How about serving others? How about nobody? How about you go and help somebody and don't tell anybody? Why do you have to have everybody notice you all the time? Everybody takes note of how great you are, how great you're dressed, how smart you are, how buff you are. Listen, all that's going to go away. Nobody's going to care in 50 years how much you can bench press. I'm not against working out, and I'm not against you going and trying to do well at your job, all that stuff. But it's not your life is about exalting Jesus, not you. It's not all about how incredible everybody thinks you are. Matter of fact, they didn't think much of Jesus. He was despised, the Bible says. Yet he was great. You find out you start doing the right thing, some people won't like you. And you won't be able to do anything to change their mind. But you know what? If you kind of lose yourself, as Jesus says, and it's not about exalting you, and it's not about you increasing and everybody looking up to you, and everybody... It's not about that. One of the most amazing things I see in poverty areas in America, it always cracks me up, is I go in a poverty area, and it is poor, and it's crime-ridden, and somebody is driving a car they put way too much money in. It's amazing. I'm thinking, you live here, I know you, and you have hydraulics on your car. You know how much that costs? You got an incredible paint job. You're driving an Escalade. And you're saying, Pastor, I can't afford to pay my rent this month. I got an idea. It's amazing. You know why? They have to have a nice car, even though they're struggling financially. To exalt themselves. To look good. You know, folks, cars are a tool. You know why I'll never drive a nice car? Because they're a tool and I destroy them. And I kick the doors closed and I'm rough on them. I pack too many people in them and I do all kinds of things in them. I go grab some teenagers and teenagers destroy everything. And I would hate the teenagers if they destroyed my fancy car. You know, and I don't mind you having a nice car. Not, if you were earned it and you worked hard, I have a problem with that at all. I understand. But understand, if it's all about you just exalting yourself and just trying to get impressed people, get people to be impressed with your God. Yes. To lift up Jesus. John the Baptist was great, greater than all that were ever born. Why? Because it's, I must decrease and he must increase. I'm just a stool for him to step up on. Pretty hard for us to accept that when we're all about us, isn't it? When it's all about exalting ourselves. We're so self-promoting. We must learn to humble ourselves. The Bible says in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let another person praise you like John the Baptist. Proverbs 27:2 says this, let another man's lips praise thee and not thine own. Let God exalt you. First, let me read you 1 Peter 5:7. Or 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Jesus exalted John the Baptist, but John the Baptist was lowering himself and exalting Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? Lifted up John the Baptist and said, there's never been a greater man born. Let God exalt you. And God may put you in a position where you look good. And God may put you in a position where people think highly of you. But let God exalt you. But you humble yourself and say, it's all about Jesus. Everything I have is because of him. If I got a great skill, you know what? It's because Jesus gave me that great skill. I don't mind you going out and playing sports. If you're good at the sports and you do great. But when somebody says, man, how'd you get so good? You say, God gave me some skills. Because you couldn't be good unless God gave you a good start. I understand you work hard. I get that. But you know what? You wouldn't have had that without Jesus. That's what John did. Nothing can be given to you except the Father give it. And I have this big ministry, and everybody's listening to me, and it's great right now. But you know what? I'm going to decrease. He's going to increase. But even what I have was given to me by him. It was all about lifting up Jesus and exalting him. Next, he boldly stood for the truth. Matthew 3. He boldly stood for the truth. The world's finally, there's been a pretty good period of time where people were just heard what they wanted to hear. Now the world's gotten so messed up and so lost, they're longing for truth again. And John the Baptist didn't care who was listening. John the Baptist just wanted to preach the truth and just say what God said and tell about the Messiah who was coming. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." For the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out from Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, and confessing their sins. But when they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, John saw the leaders who were rejecting the truth, the leaders who could have him killed. What did he do? He said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Wow! Here's the political leaders who could put him in jail, who later had Jesus crucified. And they come to hear the preaching. He says, "O generation of vipers, you better repent." Whoa. Don't think because you're children of Israel, you're automatically saved. God could bring Jewish people out of these rocks right here. It's not because you're raised, you're saved. He preached the truth no matter who was there. He stood for the truth no matter what happened. Later on, he went out and Herod, who was the king in the area, he went out and took his brother's wife and started committing adultery. And John the Baptist says that's wicked and sinful. And he's put in prison for it. And then had his head cut off for it eventually. But he wasn't afraid to speak the truth, even with the consequences. And you got to be bold today. You understand there's a lot of mockers out there. You got to say, "Thus saith the Lord." You cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You got to say what God says and not be ashamed of it. Say what God says. Don't be afraid of who is there. Don't be afraid of anything. He boldly stood for the truth, and that impressed Jesus. Next, he trained people. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I really want to hit on this. I don't have much time, but just briefly, Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass, verse 1, that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, Jesus, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." It also refers to John's disciples having fasted. John made disciples, and he taught them to do the right thing, and he taught them to pray, and taught them to fast. And everybody knew how John's disciples prayed. And they went to Jesus and said, "Can you teach us to pray like John taught his disciples?" They're impressed. I want to say this. It's very important that you reproduce yourself if you have something good to you. I'm not necessarily saying just have a child. I'm saying if you have something good to you, you need to go out and train people and make disciples and teach people. One of the strangest things that happens in our society is we become so cynical that we oftentimes sit there and just take pop shots at the way other people are doing things. I could raise kids better than that. People, churches should be doing this thing. People should teach people to do this. How about you do it, since you know how to do things? You know how to treat people? Quit saying people shouldn't treat people like that. Just go show them how to treat people. I had a great statement said to me a long time ago, and it's guided me a lot. Criticize by doing something better. Criticize by doing something better. You know, if you have something good to you, if you got taught some things of integrity or diligence or hard work or kindness or compassion, whatever it is, can I say, take someone under your wing and teach them that? The world needs more people like you. So go teach some people. Don't just keep it to yourself. Go train people. John the Baptist made disciples, and he made people who he taught how to pray, and he taught them how to do this stuff. And it takes some patience, it takes some time, but do that. Next, John the Baptist restored families. The last verse in the Old Testament is talking about John the Baptist, Malachi chapter 4, right before Matthew. And the last verse in the Old Testament tells what he will do. One of the things that he will do It says that they'll prepare the way for Messiah, but then the last verse there, Malachi 4:6. Last verse in the Old Testament. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. It's talking about John the Baptist. What a fascinating phrase there. He shall turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. That's beautiful. Well, folks, we need people doing this again. Do you see how bad families are? You don't have to look very hard. Go to the store and watch the interaction between the kids and the parents. It's all you have to see. I want that candy. I want that. Shut up. Shut up. I'm tired of you. And just, yeah, I mean, that's how they communicate. Just anger. And the kids are disobedient. And by the way, I put that in the parents. It's all you do is yell, and they yell at you. What do you expect? I understand a good parent can produce an imperfect child. I understand that. We're all human. But generally, you raise a kid right, they're pretty respectful. And listen, the problem is, pretty soon there's such bitterness, their hearts are turned away from each other. And no longer are they friends in the family. I tell you, a child and their parents should be friends. Friends. Nowadays, because there's no friendship in the family, all they do is turn to peers, and all they have is peers as friends. And that's what I grew up as. And I understand that. And can I tell you, it's okay to have friends that are peers, but you should be close friends to your parents. I think you should work with your parents too, by the way. Spend time with them. And there's this anger and bitterness. And I want to say, try to turn them back. Don't stir it up worse. Don't stir it up worse. I know the parents might be imperfect, but you know, you can help. You can go and try to get those kids to appreciate their parents. Kids don't even know why they should appreciate their parents nowadays. And some of the parents don't earn it. I know that. Listen, my kids have taken over my children's ministry. I was in children's ministry for 25 years. And I was always doing buses and picking them up and in their houses, and I spend time. And by the way, we would go to the into the house, and the kids start coming to church, and I would teach those kids, you obey your parents when you go home. No matter who their parents were, by the way, obey their parents. Even if the parents weren't the best people, that's okay. I wouldn't let those kids backtalk their parents in front of me. And I began to teach them, listen, Johnny, your mom carried you in her womb. You don't talk to her that way. Your dad goes to work every day. Your mom goes to work every day. You know, you have food in your stomach because your mom and dad work. If I can say those things, I couldn't always. If I'm around, I'm around, Johnny starts backtalking and telling dad off, telling dad bad things. Johnny, hush. You don't talk to your dad that way. Now, guess what? The dad already told me, hey, I'll let my kids go, but I don't like church. I don't like preachers. Guess what the dad does? Yeah, that preacher ain't so bad. I kind of like that preacher. He's not too bad. He's different. Do you know when I was in the children's ministries, I got 80% of the parents to come to church. 80% of them. Why? Turning them back to each other. Then I'd take the parents aside, not in front of the kids, say, can I give you a book on how... You seem real frustrated with the kids. Yes, I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to do with them. I say, can I spend some time with you teaching you a little bit about how to deal with a kid like that? I got a good book on that. Let me teach you a little bit. And you know what? I tell you, that kid's got a lot of potential. That kid's got... Yeah, I know he seems like a brat right now, and I know the way he treats you, but let me tell you, he needs you. Turn the hearts back. Can you go around a little bit and start turning hearts back? I'm not perfect at that thing, and I can't always succeed at it, but I want to say, John the Baptist was impressive because he turned families back together. Anytime I find a family broken up, I'm immediately trying to get them back together. Husband, wife, even if they're separated, even if they're divorced, if they haven't been remarried, I'm trying to get them back together. I'm trying to fix families, folks. The family is what God established. It's vital. And build those families up and build them back together and teach the kids to respect their dad and teach them to love their mom and teach those parents to love their children and teach them how to not provoke their children to wrath and all the things the Bible teaches us to do because God wants close-knit, loving families. John the Baptist turned families back together. What a foolish thing we do sometimes. Say, yeah, your mom should never have done that. Your mom's a bum. What are you doing? Now understand, mom might be lazy. Understand that. Dad might not be there. But the kid already knows that. Why don't you go and try to build up the dad into something great that the kids can respect? I want to teach the kids to, you know, when you start, can I tell you something about people? This is a weird thing. You might not understand this. Just trust me on this. It works. If when a kid walks up to his dad and said, Dad, you're really a great guy, and dad's not a great guy, and he knows it, he goes, well, you know, I'm not all I should be, son. And he starts wanting to be a great guy. People become their praise. And people get hardened when you criticize them all the time. Say, oh yeah? Well, watch this. That's what they do. They shouldn't, but they do. Turn people back and restore families and help families get closer and try to and help the families out. They need help. Oh, the next thing is going to surprise you. The last one on John the Baptist. Let's go back to Matthew 11. It's going to surprise you. This guy's impressive, isn't he? He doesn't have what man thinks that we need for success. He fulfilled God's plan for his life. He lowered himself while he lifted up Jesus. He boldly spoke the truth. He restored families. He trained people. What else? He had discouragements and doubts just like the rest of us. Matthew 11. This is fascinating. We read verse 7. What'd you go to see? No, you went to go see a great prophet, not anybody dressed real great. For this is he, the prophets told about, verse 10. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. This man is told about by the prophets in the Old Testament. That's who John the Baptist is. And I verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Wow. Jesus is praising him. Ready? Listen. Pretty high praise, right? What did John the Baptist do to get praised so highly? What was the last action of John the Baptist? John the Baptist was in jail. And John the Baptist sent his disciples to Jesus. You ready? He's already baptized Jesus, already preached Jesus, already said, this is a Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, already seen everything. Watch this, verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we seek another? Jesus praises John the Baptist, the greatest person. Immediately after John's disciples came to him and said, John wants to know if you're really the Messiah or do we seek another? John's sitting there in jail. He's going to die soon. He isn't preaching. He's discouraged. Jesus' ministry is flying and taking off. And he hears about the things and he says, did I just waste my life? Now, understand, in the womb, these two got by each other and stirred in the womb. They've been connected since conception, okay? And John has a day of doubt and a day of discouragement. And he says, hey, you guys, go ask Jesus if he's really the Messiah or should we seek another one? I don't know if he is. And they said, are you sure? Yeah, I just don't know. I'm sitting in a stinking jail and discouraged. And, you know, what if he isn't? What if I've been doing this? I can't prepare for the next Messiah. And now I'm here in jail. Maybe I shouldn't have said that about Herod. And they come and said, John wants to know if you're the Messiah or do we seek for another one? And Jesus says, go back and tell John. You've seen the lame walk. You've seen the dead raised. the deaf hear, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them, verse 5. And blessed is he that whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? And begins to praise him. As the disciples were leaving, with that question, are you really the Messiah? Jesus begins to praise him. You know why? Because God remembers that we are but dust. You know what? You thought, oh, I'm so messed up. I get discouraged. I feel like I'm on top of the world. And all of a sudden, I've been a failure. I messed everything up. I ruined. I don't even know if this is real or true. I shouldn't have done that. What if I? And then you second guess yourself and you start kicking yourself. Listen, the devil is good enough at kicking you. You don't need to give him an extra foot. Okay? If you're doing something wrong, repent. I understand. Do that. And say, but you know, God praised John the Baptist as the greatest among men when he's sitting there discouraged and doubting. Because the Lord remembers how weak we are. That's exciting to me. I don't think it's exciting to you. I guess you never get discouraged. I guess you never have doubts. But, you know, occasionally I start, oh, brother, I'm such a mess up. Boy, I blew that one. Man, maybe I'm wasting my time. Maybe I did. If I wouldn't have done that, if I would have said this instead of this, they'd all stayed awake in church. And you begin to kick yourself. And you get discouraged. And you blew it. You're good, and then all of a sudden with the kids, you lost it one day. Or you did good at work, and then all of a sudden one day, you ever had a day when you go to work, you do everything wrong? And you just get discouraged, and you get down, but thank God. As a father pitieth his children, so he pities us. He remembers that we are but dust, the Bible says, and God is good to us and knows that. But when John the Baptist got discouraged, you know what he did? He brought it to Jesus. He sent his disciples and said, go ask Jesus. You know, when you're casting all your care upon him, when you're struggling, when you're worried, when you're discouraged, when you feel like a failure, go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm feeling this. Lord, I'm having some doubts right now about you, Lord. It seems like I haven't been treated right. It seems like you don't see what's happening. Lord, if you will do that, you'll be just fine. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Humanity has all kinds of thoughts and doubts, and they're up and down, and they get discouraged. It's okay. Just make sure you bring it to Jesus, because when you bring it to Jesus, he'll give you back peace and solution. You're going to feel those things, but if you go, I feel this, and I want to tell anybody, and I'm just going to think it over and over, and you'll start thinking in circles and thinking in circles and never get the answer. If you would not just think in circles, but take it to the one who you have the question about, he'll fix it. Secondly, he brought it to Jesus, but secondly, he was still faithful to death. Can I tell you? You can be discouraged and keep on doing right. You can have doubts and keep on doing right. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some things you don't understand. You're going to go through some worries. You're going to go through times when you feel like a failure, but you keep on serving God because he's worthy. You're going to mess up sometimes in your marriage, but you stay married. And you apologize. And you get it right. You know why? Because your spouse didn't marry a perfect person. Only my wife did. And I'm glad she's not in here. She would just sit up and protest it. No! But no. Listen. They know they didn't marry a perfect person. And when you would be amazed how forgiving people are. And not a modern day apology like they do with the people who are famous. I'm sorry if you misconstrued what I thought. You say, I blew it. I messed up. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And people are pretty merciful. And you keep on going. And you stay married. And you're not the perfect church member. And you keep coming to church. And you don't always pray. And then you go back to praying. Because when you fall, a just man falls 7 times and rises up again. He doesn't quit. You keep on going. And John the Baptist messed up. And he got discouraged. But you know what he did? He stayed right. And he died in the will of God. And he did the right thing. Wow, what a great man. And isn't it good that somebody who is that great got discouraged just like you, that gives us hope, doesn't it? That you can make it. That you can become great. But you got to make sure you bring it to Jesus, because you've probably been there. He did not have what man thinks we need for success, so we're all in good shape. He was fulfilling God's plan for his life. He lowered himself to lift up Jesus. He boldly stood for the truth. He restored families. He trained people. He had discouragements and doubts just like us, but kept doing right. Don't you want to be great in God's sight? Here's a pattern. Let's make sure we follow that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray today that we'd exalt you. I pray our lives would exalt you. I pray to realize that we don't have to have any great talent. We don't have to be good looking or rich or gifted or athletic to please you. I pray to realize that we can go out there and make a difference in lives and help people like John the Baptist did. I pray that we would be servants who lift you up, who exalt you and humble ourselves. I pray be people who, when we get discouraged, we keep doing right and come to you and tell you our thoughts. And you love to hear them. And you bring us back peace. Lord, may we do these things and realize that we can be great for you. And I pray most of all, if somebody doesn't know you as personal Savior today, they'd receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray today that they would know eternal life. Thank you for your word. Thank you all it teaches us. May we lift you up, even if it means us going down, because you are God and you are worthy. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed, Panos is coming, and we're just going to have a brief invitation here. You can be great. You can impress God. And you don't have to have all the things that people think you have to have. Just a humble person can do great things. You can make a difference. Have you been exalting yourself? Have you been able to humble yourself? Can you go help some families and turn some families back? Can you go and speak the word of truth boldly? Can you do God's plan for your life? Because anybody who does what God has planned for them, God is impressed with. Just faithfully stick with it. Don't quit. Can you go to the Lord when you're discouraged? Can you train some people and help some people? Can you get busy for others? John the Baptist was about others, the Lord and other people. He's a great man, the greatest who lived, but that's why he did those things. You can do all those things. I can do all those things. Okay, today, God spoke to me today. Some of these things I'm not doing. I'd like to do them. I want to do better. I want to lift up Jesus. I want to humble myself. I want to go and serve other people. I want to turn families' hearts back, maybe my own family. I want to do some things. God's speaking to me. I need to do one of these things. God spoke to me, and I want to be like John the Baptist. I want God to think I'm great. Maybe I've been discouraged and I need to go take it to Jesus. I'm going to keep on going for God. God's speaking to me today. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to me today about this. Would you raise your hand? God spoke to me about this. I've been discouraged a little bit. I need to keep on going. I need that.